With firm resolve and in one voice, from this day and forever, declare Barbados a parliamentary republic.
A new republic being ushered in the past few hours. The Caribbean island nation of Barbados has ditched the Queen as head of state and repurposed their Governor General to become their first ever president.
I, Sandra Prunella Mason, do swear that I will well and truly serve Barbados in the office of president, so help me God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Her Excellency Dame Sandra Prunella Mason, President of Barbados.
Sandra Mason took the presidential oath in the presence of Prime Minister Mia Mottley and Britain's Prince Charles, who used his speech to acknowledge the appalling atrocity of slavery. Britain took African slaves to the island to do the backbreaking work on its sugar plantations more than 400 years ago, and it leaves today an unresolved and painful question of reparations. Becoming a republic won't resolve that issue, but for many Barbadians, it is a sign of an end to subservience after a drawn-out process of breaking with Britain since independence way back in 1966. Peter Wickham is a Barbadian political consultant. He's a Republican. We spoke earlier.
I think that it's only now hitting home to many people that, you know, in fact, we will have a Barbadian head of state for the first time. There's been a reopening of a part that was very symbolic for a number of Barbadians where we had riots in the 1930s and various other national symbols that have coincided with this moment. And I think it has made it a very special time, you know, where we kind of reclaim our heritage, so to speak.
Prior to this, you as a Barbadian would not have been able to be the head of state of your country because of the Queen. How did that sit with you personally?
It's something I've never been comfortable with. It's just that I think for the vast majority of Barbadians, they never thought about it. You know, as is the case with Australia, people assume that the Governor General is the head of state. And I think that many Barbadians never thought about it. But for me personally, it's something that I always knew and made me uncomfortable about the fact that, you know, the Queen, her heirs and successors would always be head of state and that I could never be. But now that's been rectified, and certainly I couldn't be more thrilled.
So what are the legacy issues for countries like Barbados of colonialism that are still to be addressed?
There's a lot of talk of reparations. The plantation system was very much in place at the time of our colonialism, decolonization started. There are many people who feel that there's some unaddressed issues. I'm not sure how far it's going to go, but that's still very much in many people's minds. The fact that when slavery was terminated, the owners of slaves were received a contribution from the British state. The slaves never got a cent. And I think that for a number of people, that's an issue. We still have a few plantations in Barbados. I mean, Draxall is the one that stands out because that's still owned by Lord Drax, who is a descendant of the family that previously owned it. And that's a bit of an irritant. I don't know that this makes a difference, honestly, in terms of the Republic. But I do feel that people probably believe themselves better equipped now to deal with it psychologically.
And the process of becoming a republic, a very popular prime minister who holds almost all the seats in the parliament, and she just said, well, we're going to do this. There was no referendum, for example. Are there many people who have a problem with that?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of people who have a problem with it and feel that we should have had a referendum. But I think that that all goes away, quite frankly. We don't need a referendum. You know, it's a slightly different situation to several other countries. We've moved away from the Privy Council. We have made significant other changes without requiring a referendum, and there's no need for one. No, I think the referendum would have politicized the issue in a way that would have been unfortunate, and I suspect it would not have happened, as was the case in Sir Vincent and the Grenadines, Grenada, Antigua, which are Caribbean islands that have had referenda, and they have all failed, not necessarily because people didn't support them, but because the issues became politicized. So for that reason, I think it was wise not to do it. And quite frankly, the changes are so minimal in terms of the text. I don't believe that many people will begin to think about that anymore, because they will realize that it's exactly as it was before. It's just that the head of state is a Barbadian. And certainly that's not something that you would want to vote over, because that is so manifestly obvious that it shouldn't even be a question.
Well, it comes up as controversial in some places, as you mentioned, including Australia. Yeah. What about the theory that other dominoes might fall now? You mentioned those states that had referenda and they failed. Could other countries that could now follow Barbados?
I doubt it. I mean, I've heard the suggestion being made. Jamaica is one that comes to mind. But the fact is that Barbados is the last of the, certainly of the Caribbean islands, that can have a change of this magnitude without a referendum. My sense is, as much as there are many countries that are not our constitutional monarchies that would love to go in the direction of becoming republics, the presence of the referendum will continue to be an irritant, and it will make it impossible for these highly polarized societies in the Caribbean, certainly, to be able to agree on anything like this.
Peter Wickham, thank you so much for talking to us today.
My pleasure.
Barbadian political consultant Peter Wickham, as Barbados became a republic today.